You'll be receiving a little gift. Kaylee's passing them out for me. So, amen. And it's kind of small, what we're giving you, so it's on a little piece of tape, so you can maybe put it somewhere where you won't lose it. Maybe in your pocket and run it through the washing machine or something like that. Right? How many know what that little thing is? It's pretty small, isn't it? It's a mustard seed, and we're going to be talking about the mustard seed today. This is talking about the parables of Jesus, and this is part 7. And we're going to be looking at mustard seed faith, on how important it is. And Jesus used this as an example for us, so how we can be able to understand some things that he was trying to get through. He took advantage over every opportunity to be able to get a message across to his followers. Situation where they got over their head. Anybody ever had that happen in your life? Maybe you got involved in something, had a plan, or maybe you did a plan and then somehow it didn't go according to plan. And that's the way life is sometimes. And as you look at this little mustard seed that we're passing out, I was just thinking, I personally like mustard myself. And boy, it takes a lot of little mustard seeds to make some mustard, don't it? That's how they make mustard, I think. So as you look at this, have you ever felt or do you feel like your faith is even smaller than a mustard seed? You know, it's pretty small. You know, sometimes our faith works, sometimes it doesn't. And all I can say is that you're not alone, but I just encourage you to never give up, because we need to keep fighting the good fight of faith. How important it is. You're going to be discouraged. Things aren't going to go your way all the time. And if we look at things that we're going through life as a learning experience, amen, then we'll be able to get to the place that God wants us to be. The passage we're going to look at is found in Matthew 17, and I almost forgot to thank my wife for bringing a good couple weeks there on the parable of the prodigal son. She was never a prodigal in her life. I'm the one who probably should have done that one. But anyway, she did a really good job, and I thank her for that. So Matthew 17, 19 to 21 says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not drive it out?' And he said to them, 'Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not come except by prayer and fasting.'" So let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, so much for the Holy Spirit to be the teacher here today, the revealer, the one who's going to bring breakthrough to our life, Lord. We thank you for revelation knowledge. Lord, we just thank you that information is good, but Lord, we desire revelation to be imparted to us today, just how we can better serve you and follow you all the days of our life. And Lord, I thank you. I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this passage, if you look up a few other verses, you can do it yourself, previous verses. It begins with disciples coming to Jesus because it's not working. Huh? Oh, is it? Oh, well, it'll fix itself. Okay. If I do that one, it'll be rough. But anyway, we'll make it through this. All right, so what was I talking about? All right, so the demon was in the kingdom. Made him, some say it was like epilepsy or something like that. He would throw himself in the water and in the fire, and it was a very... And the fire went to the disciples and asked him, because they had a severe problem. He had a devil-sized problem. What happened then is that They tried to cast this demon out, and they couldn't do it. The demon wouldn't leave. Now, a little bit, you know, it may sound like a big first step for a lot of people. How many like to go, your first thing that you tackle as a follower of Jesus is to cast out a demon? I mean, that may not be for everybody. But you have to remember, Jesus had already sent them out previously to heal the sick and to cast out demons. This is something well in their scope of ministry that they had been called to do, and they had done it before and with success. But here, they ran into a situation that it just wasn't working. And that's kind of what happens in our life sometimes. Things can be going good. We may be involved in stuff and things may be flowing with us. I mean, in the sense that we're seeing God move in our life. But then all of a sudden, we run up against an obstacle. And I'm sure that these followers of Jesus, these disciples who were kind of the chosen ones, everybody kind of seen, I bet they had the t-shirt and everything. I follow Jesus, you know, I'm in the crew, you know, cast and crew and everything. And then I'm sure they were a little bit embarrassed because everybody was probably watching. And they had done it before, but now they failed. It didn't work. And so they did what they only knew to do. They went to Jesus and said, "What's up? Why could we not drive out this demon? You know, it's worked before. You know, why could we not drive this out?" And Jesus, being the great lover that he is, he didn't sugarcoat it. He flat out told them, "Because the littleness of your faith." Well, that's a big booster, isn't it? You know, they probably went, "Hey, there, it's okay, guys. Hey, I got this." You know, sometimes it's just rough. You know, no, he told them, "The littleness of your faith." That's what caused the problem. Because it says that with faith, nothing's impossible. Right? With faith, nothing is impossible. And so then he went on to share a little bit more. To make matters worse, he used the comparison of this little seed, which is very hard to see. As a matter of fact, I got double blessed. I got two seeds in mine, my little packet. I don't know if anybody else got two. But anyway, he compared their faith they said their faith was smaller than this. Smaller than that. Because then he went on to say that if you just have this much faith, you can move a mountain. I'm sure that just kind of short-circuited some of their thinking a little bit. Much like it probably is doing ours. I mean, this much faith can move a mountain. This much faith can, you know, then nothing will be impossible. Oh, I know why I got two. I got two of them. Oh, darn. I thought I was really double blessed. I see now they got a little static electricity to them, so they kind of held together. But anyway, I kind of got humbled right there. Oh, well, it's all good. Now, one thing about the mustard seed, I didn't measure this. I'm just going by what I read. It's about a couple millimeters big. Not very big, it's a couple millimeters. But that seed can grow from anywhere from 6 feet to 30 feet tall. Some even said taller. Now, isn't that something? That little seed can produce. As a matter of fact, another place in the Bible, it talks about how the birds could even build nests in this tree. And so out of that little seed can grow something very big. And that's what we need to hold into our mind a little bit. And as you kind of think about it, you know, what was the problem? Why, if something worked before, why is it not working today? Why is it not working right now? And one possible answer to that question is that they could have lost their dependence on God. And they started to trust in their own abilities. See, as you go out and you start to do ministry and things become a little more normal and a little more natural sometimes as you serve the Lord, sometimes you can just kind of, I don't know, put it on autopilot. You don't really pray. You don't really ask God to give you grace or give you power. You just kind of go and do it. And a lot of times we do it according to our own talents instead of God's ability in our life. And that's why we need to always make sure that we stay close to God. Because as we sometimes can put our faith on autopilot, we lose our dependency on the Lord. And we can never lose that. Any phase of our walk with Christ, and in this room or anybody listening to me right now, there's some people here maybe have just started their journey. They're maybe in their first few steps walking with Christ. And there also may be some people with Christ many years, and they're very advanced in their journey. And both of these classes of people can make the same mistake. They can lose their dependency on Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Because what happens is the fact that when we get on autopilot and we start to trust in ourselves, and then whether we want to accept it or not, unbelief comes in. And what happens is unbelief dilutes our faith. It mixes in there. And it causes big problems. And it causes things to not to work in the things of God. And whether we want to accept it or not, unfortunately, when you and I come into relationship with Jesus Christ, we bring baggage of our old way of thinking into our way of living the life of faith. It's the life of faith that God has called us to live. He wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to be able to do that and not just go by what we see or not just to go by what we feel, but to go by what the Word of God says. And we may do it in our mind, but what happens is also floating around up in our mind is all them years of training not to trust faith, but to trust in our five physical senses. And it's hard to overcome some of those things, and because they keep creeping back in and they start to manifest in our life, and they hold us back. One thing about a mustard seed, and I've always said this about different seeds, this mustard seed, it did not have an identity problem. It knows what it is. And it knows what its purpose is in life. A mustard seed, all it has to do is to grow a mustard tree. And see, when we lose sight of what our purpose is in Christ, what God has called us to do, that we're called to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to follow Him, we can lose. We do other functions in society and all these things, but our primary purpose is to build the kingdom of God. That's what a Christian's job is. Our job is to build the kingdom of God, whatever that means. It's to go and make disciples of all nations. So that should be our focus, but sometimes we lose our way. And see, really, it's not about the quantity all the time. It's about the quality of our faith. You know, is it pure and is it untainted? Because sometimes in life, we do bring those things in. And if you study other religions, you know, a lot of people, when they come to Christ, they kind of bring in some of their old religions and all these other thinkings, and they mix it with Christianity. And then it kind of gets off base a little bit. And really, that's why we need to stay into the Word of God. You know, some places, you know, they still maybe kill chickens as part of the ceremony, and they consider them Christians. I mean, that's just part of it. They brought in some of these other habits or traditions in, and then it mixes with it, and then it dilutes the truth. So that's why we need to shun all this wrong thinking, all the things in our life that doesn't line up with the Word of God, and start to trust what the Bible says, even though we don't maybe understand it or see it all the time. Because it's what happened here was that these disciples came across a tough situation. It was a strong demon. And as you go out in life, sometimes you're going to come across some strong problems. Now, I know I've been involved with casting out demons out of people and different things like that. Sometimes they just don't want to go. And this one here did not want to go. And what we know from this passage, and we look in Ephesians 6 later on, is the fact that the Bible talks about different classes and rankings of demons, doesn't it? You got your principalities, your powers, and your rulers in high places. So inside Satan's kingdom, there is a hierarchy. There's a, you know, boss or demons that are more in charge or control, and then it goes down the line. And so all these things kind of factor in. And as you go across this, you're going to run across some problems in life that are harder than others. It's going to take a little more faith to move that mountain than maybe you've had to use before. Because some mountains are bigger than others. And as we come against those, we need to just be prepared. And so what I found out in life is the fact that there's no such thing as a faith-resistant demon. Real faith speaking the name of Jesus is the highest authority in the land. And we need to have confidence in that. And stop trusting in self and start trusting in the name of Jesus, because there's no other name that has more power. Now, Jesus gave us a little clue. It's a big clue, really, is the answer. A way to overcome these tough situations in life. And that's prayer and fasting. Yay, right? Woohoo! I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to fast. Right? You guys know what fasting is, right? It's the opposite of feasting, correct? You know, you walk away from the table for a little bit. You push yourself away. Because what happens is that prayer and fasting work together. Amen. And what it does, it refines our faith. It refines it. And it strains out those impurities. Because like I said, we all bring that wrong thinking into our relationship with God. And it's powerful what the Holy Spirit can do in our life, and the idea of what it means to finally relinquish control. We have to let go of control. And we have to let God. We need to let Him start to manifest in our life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 talks a little bit more about this. In a sense, in talking about our faith, it says, and this is the Amplified version, it says, you should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. Proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. So there we see some concepts of what really happens in our life, in our walk with God. We're going to be tested. Right? How many's excited about tests? Just love them. Right? You just love it. Oh, good, another test. I'm fired up. You know, I love it when I have a big challenge. You know, being tested again. And probably nobody says that very much. So, but what I want us to remember something, that it's normal to be tested. It's normal. If we were not being tested. Not being tested, then there's some sort of problem going on. We're not really doing anything or manifesting any kind of lifestyle that brings these kind of tests, because the enemy's going to bring attacks against us, and also God allows tests in our life to strengthen us, to help us to grow and to mature and to be the people of God that He wants us to be. You know, y'all remember your baby Christian faith, right? Baby Christian faith was easy. You know, you're just starting out, and it seemed like God would just dump a little bit extra grace on your life, and things just kind of were working out. Well, then as you started to mature and you started to walk with God a little bit more, well, grace is there all the time, but sometimes there's some challenges because, you know, God wants us to get that unbelief, like this gold, when it's heated up, it brings all the ugliness out. Have you ever had ugliness come out of your life? We all have, right? get angrier. Maybe just things happen. You get all stressed out and all these things just start to happen. And then it's just all this because you get under pressure. I've always said pressure reveals things. You know, life is easy until you hit pressure. Then you find out really where your faith's at, where your trust is at. And that's good because it shows us really what we need to work on. Correct? You know, if we have an area of unbelief in our life and things that we have to do, and what I found out is the idea of the hotter the fire, the more ugliness and unbelief comes out for us to deal with. It's just going to come. And when that ugliness is, it comes up to the top, you know, as gold is heated and silver also, it's heated, the dross, the impurities that's in the metal, it comes to the top, and then they just wipe that ugliness away. And that's what we need to have happen in our life, is we need to get rid of that ugliness. We need to get rid of those things that try to hold us back, because what happens is the ugliness is not as heavy or strong as the good stuff, and that ugliness comes out, and then we get rid of it, and then what's left over is something that's more pure. That's something that is better and a stronger product. Amen? Isn't this fun? Glory to God. You know, dealing with this. So I don't want you to be discouraged when you get tested. I don't want you to be discouraged if you fail. Because that's just part of the process. It's a process of learning. It's a process of growing. All these things are very important in the walk of a believer, on how we be able to walk in these things. And has Jesus, how he challenged his followers, his closest people, you know, that were with him and doing ministry together. He just told them like it is. Sometimes just the littleness of your faith. You know, you just got to take it and deal with it. And don't let those impurities in your life define you. Focus on what is left. I'm still standing. How about you? Amen? I'm still here. Haven't given up yet. Not going to give up. Because you're going to go through these things. And what happens is some people, depending on their personality trait and how much the devil's lied to them, but what happens is when that ugliness comes out, they identify with the ugliness, that that's who they are. And what happens when you identify with the ugliness? It shipwrecks your faith. It makes you feel that that's who you are and that's all you're ever going to be. And we need to stop focusing on that and just know that's the old life. Remember, when you're born again, right, you have your old life and then you have the new life, the new life of Christ. And see, that's what we focus on, what Jesus says in the Word as a believer that we are. And it's this old stuff that we're dealing with and getting rid, and we're starting to push that old stuff out of our life, and we're starting to deal with it and bring it out. And thank God for the people in our life that bring that ugliness out. Amen? Or oh my. There's some people that have a knack for bringing out ugliness, right? You know, I don't know if they're, who's using them, God or Satan, but sometimes, you know, whatever works, right? As long as we're dealing with it and bringing that stuff out. And so the idea of dealing with these impurities is this part of that process. And we all have them, and we all have to deal with them. So remember that mustard seed we talked about earlier. And so that mustard seed wants to grow. And really, that's all the faith we need in our life. So as we look at that mustard seed again, you know, you kind of wonder, I mean, how can a 30-foot tree be inside of that little seed? How did God get that in there? You know, how could he put that little, all that compact into this little thing? So you have to remember that with God, all things are possible, right? So God can do anything. If God can bring a 30-foot tree out of that much of a seed, and with that little of a seed, if it's equated to faith, that little bit of faith can move a mountain. Is there anything that can really stop us? Right? Think about that for a minute. All I got to do is have that much faith. See, faith, your faith and my faith, it needs to be growing. We need to grow in our faith. Some people stop growing. They learn just enough and they get to a place in life. And I've always said this, you know, the faith walk is like climbing a mountain. I used to do mountain climbing when I lived in Denver a little bit. And when you can climb a mountain, and some people go so far and then they stop because they think that's good enough. They hit a plateau, a nice level spot. Hey, I could hang here. Nice view. Love everything I see. I've given enough of my life to Christ. I haven't given everything yet totally. But I'm at a place where I feel comfortable. I'm going to heaven, and I'm helping some people. So I think I'm going to stop right here. Don't do that. Because when you stop growing, that's when you get in trouble. That's why no matter how many times, I've read through the Bible every year since 1985. I'll be honest, I know quite a bit about what's in the Bible, but I still don't know all the Bible. You know what I mean? I don't know it all. So that's why I keep reading it. Every year I read through the whole Bible. That's my goal. And it was instilled to me when I first got saved, and I just see how important it is. And, you know, I look forward to it. It's not a burden to me. But it helps me to see the big picture of what God is doing through the Scripture. It helps me to understand things. I want to still grow. To be honest, as where I'm at with God right now, I know enough. And not bragging, but I probably know more than a lot of people. But it's not enough. I know that I need to keep growing. Because hopefully I got you guys chasing me. Amen? You guys are chasing me, and I need to stay on top of things and try to, you know, my goal isn't to bring something new every week, because that's when you get into bad doctrine, you know what I'm saying? You know, some people think they got to bring something new or make something up every week, you know, just to make them look relevant. But no, that's not how it works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word of Christ. Amen? So that's why we got to stay in the Word. But the important thing that we need to know is that how faith needs to continue growing, because you and I are each on a faith journey. And we should remember this. I always like the scripture. Zechariah 4:10 says, despise not small beginnings. It's okay to start small. It's okay. We all start small. We have to start somewhere. I always think of, when I think of this, back in the day, you used to go to the mall and they got those signs, and then you kind of look where everything's at and it says, you are here. Right? Wow, praise God, I know where I'm at right now. Amen? But then you look and you get the directory and you kind of check and you kind of see what store you kind of want to go to, and you can kind of get a plan. Well, I got to go over there. Some journeys are short, some are a long ways off. Sometimes you're in the wrong mall. You know what I'm saying? Wow, my store's not even here. What do I do now? If it ain't Sears or Penny's back in the day, you didn't need it. You know what I'm saying? But I know people like all them other fancy ones. That's where I got all my stuff. It probably shows. But anyway. So the idea is the fact that we need to know where we're starting, and it's okay, but we got to start on that journey. And you just need to see yourself out of that. So, all you really need is this much faith, as long as it's genuine. Genuine faith. Just trusting in Jesus. No other things. Don't trust in me. Don't trust in this church. And Lord knows, don't trust in the government. Amen? Amen? Come on, we've been let down there a time or two. But just trust in Jesus. Amen. Trust in Jesus. Now, one thing I want to say is kind of a play on words, but I know it's not by works, but I also know what works. Think about that for a minute. On one hand, you got the greasy gracers over here. Everything's grace, 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 grace. You don't have to apply yourself. You don't have to do anything. It's all God. Now, I do, you know, but Paul, I like what he said in Corinthians, said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But more than that, I labored more than all of them. You know, when you're saved by grace through faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You got to get in the Word, some people. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to. Why did Jesus said this demon's hard to cast out, so it's all by grace? Did he say that? No. He said, you got to pray and fast. How important is it for you to want to see people set free? How willing are you to put yourself in a position to be the best version of yourself that God wants you to be? Think about that for a minute. Kind of staggering, ain't it? Now, I don't want to scare us all, maybe a little. But, you know, prayer and fasting is important because it helps us to deal with some of these things, because every now in life, you're going to run across somebody that has a big problem, like this father whose son. You want to hurt a parent, hurt their children, right? If you want to hurt a parent, hurt the children. And the disciples ran across this situation and they couldn't handle it. But Jesus gave them the answer, same answer that you and I need, is the fact that we need to follow him and make sure. And here's the key, because I know what works. It's not by works, but works righteousness has nothing to do with our actions, but with our motives. If you just remember that, it's going to keep you free. You'll never get in bondage again. I guarantee it. You'll never be in bondage to works if you just remember this one thought. It's not by actions, but it's our motive why we do the action. That'll set you free. That'll help it so you can grow exponentially in the kingdom of God. I've watched a lot of people over the years, get into works righteousness. And they, because when I say we need to pray and fast, and all of a sudden they start to get out the measuring stick. You know what I mean? They get the ruler out. And then they start to measure how much they pray and how much they fast. And then they get off base doing that. No, that's not how it works. It's the motive. The reason why we do that is we want to put ourselves in a position so that God can use us in a better way, so that we can set people free. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We can start to see the manifestation of His Spirit. So what sacrifice are we willing to do in order to set the captives free? Now, next level faith comes by next level commitment. We need to be committed. And prayer, it shows that on God rather than trusting itself. So what happens with fasting is that it crucifies our flesh by putting it in subjection to our spirit. We're a three-part being, as we know, spirit, soul, body. Our spirit needs to dominate. Our problem is our soul dominates sometimes, or maybe even our flesh, the unrenewed part of ourself. It tells us, it's like a weaned child. You ever wean your child? Take their baba away from them, or their nook, or whatever, and you... they just don't like it. They get kind of growly, don't they? Kind of like hangry's tenfold. So we need to be able to walk in that kind of level of faith to be able to overcome those things. Faith is not born in our head, but in our heart. Faith is not born in our head, but in our heart. And to remember that we're never going to be able to figure out faith, so we might as well stop trying. We just got to accept it. I don't understand how faith works all the time. Faith is tangible in the sense that it's based on the Word of God, but it's also an intangible force. It's not something you can just put in your pocket. It's something that has to be born in your heart. And so that head knowledge can hinder our faith. And that's why we need to renew our mind with the Word of God. I'm going to close with one last scripture here. Kind of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 29. Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. And they were a church of excess. They had a lot of things going on. very zealous after spiritual gifts, as we've been learning on Wednesday night, and everything that they were going for. And a lot of times, some of these letters, these epistles, was answers to questions that the churches had. You know, Paul had been through preaching the gospel and had appointed leaders in the church and things like this. And as the church was growing and bringing in more people, questions came up. Just like everybody, we have questions sometimes. So here Paul wanted to deal with some of that. He says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised of God has despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man can boast before God." What I like from this passage is the fact that God uses everyday people. Everyday people like you and me to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. He doesn't, says here, I mean, he's not opposed to smart people, don't get me wrong. But sometimes their head gets in the way. You know what I mean? You ever ran into somebody like that? Their head kind of gets in the way sometimes. They think they're smarter than everybody else. And some of them even think they're smarter than God. Good luck with that. But see, God chooses to use you and I, just basic everyday people, because faith is not based on status or education, but on the total trust in Jesus Christ. And that's what makes everybody in this room, everybody hearing my voice right now, we're all equal, because we all have the same opportunity. Trust in Jesus. You don't have to go through a bunch of rigmarole or graduate from college or have all these degrees. No, just very simple faith. Do we trust in Jesus? Can we at least have mustard seed faith today? Pure, genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.